Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm PGA professional Clay Winnell coming to you live from the 1L Studios here in friendly Bedford, Texas. Thanks for joining us on both Instagram Live and on YouTube. Tonight, my guest is an attorney, Sean Tate. He's also a Tuesday gamer.
That's right.
Got to know him at the historic golf club of Dallas playing the Tuesday game. And he said, hey, when it comes time to turning this hobby into a business, you know, look me up. Let's go have coffee and talk about it. And before we get too much into it, I think I have a brief little clip that we can play for educational purposes. Okay. Since talking about business plans. I found this clip on YouTube, and let's just take a listen to Ben Stein here.
Case study number 12. Your company is in dire straits. Sales are down 50% due to stiff price competition. Dividends are falling. Your stockholders are demanding you step down as chairman of the board. Now, here's your problem. How do you rally the board of directors to your side and stave off impending bankruptcy? Reynolds?
I'll have my secretary get back to you on that one.
Ellsworth, how would you get the board on your side?
That's you.
Yeah, that's me, man.
You got teed up for a that's joke me. By Ben Stein.
That's right.
In 1994.
That's correct.
What was that like?
I can't find that, man. No, wow. I haven't seen that in a long time. Last time I saw that was in law school. One of my buddies found out and figured out how to get it put up on the big movie size screen in the auditorium for my entire class. And maybe the last time before that was high school, you know, but it stays with you. So, yeah, man, you never forget getting to hang out with Ben Stein, you know, and have lunch with him. We had a ham and cheese sandwich. I don't know why I remember that, except it was fucking Ben Stein. So, you know what I mean? And got to hang out with Macaulay Culkin for a couple of days.
That was after he blew up from Home Alone, right?
Yeah, this was after Home Alone. That's right. And one of my favorite experiences from the acting days, because he was super chill. He was like a cool kid. And, you know, we were both there about the same age. I think we're maybe even a few months apart. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay.
And, you know, he's surrounded by all these, you know, staff and handlers and things of that nature. And, you know, I'm the one of the only other kids there that those couple of days, I think we were at Northwestern University. And I guess that was the school, you know, in the movie. They filmed it at Northwestern.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. But either way, we're hanging out for a couple of days. So, you know, we get to talking and, you know, just hanging out like kids do and talking about video games and, you know, what games are like and all that. And I'm like, do you like NBA Jam? And he's like, I love NBA Jam. And I'm like, bro, I love NBA Jam.
Hell
so
yeah.
We're like going off about what a great game it was. You were there, man. You know, that was like the best game at the time.
You could dunk from cross court.
Exactly. You get the he's on fire, you know, come across court. Yeah. Anyway, he says to his people, I want to go play NBA Jam. And so they start running around, scurrying as they do, and they find a bar located within maybe 5 minutes of where the set was that has the game inside the bar. They shut the bar down, kick everybody out except me, Macaulay Culkin, and the crew. And just hand us a big bag of quarters. You know what I'm saying? So he shut down the entire production so we could play. Actually, I think it was lunch, but we extended on lunch. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, so we could hang out and play NBA Jam. So I hope he remembers that. But it was one of my favorite experiences because it was so normal. It was so not cool. You know, it was just like just a couple kids hanging out. You know, it was really cool.
That's incredible. I wonder if Macaulay's a golfer. If you are. Join us for the Tuesday game.
Come
last Tuesday
out.
Of the month, man. Courses across the DFW area.
That's right.
I did a little research, as any good interviewer should, and listened to a podcast of you talking about yourself. And let's do the expedited background and stop me when I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
You're from Chicago.
Correct. Ish. Yeah. South suburbs, but yeah.
Chicago-ish.
Yeah.
Destined for a public school education. The
right.
child acting
right.
gets you access to private school.
That's just about right.
Which boosts the education, which gets you to a variety of different jobs and careers.
Yeah.
And eventually law school.
Correct.
Working for a firm.
Right.
And then starting your own firm.
That's right. That's really good. Yeah.
Correct so
that's
far?
That's my life in a nutshell.
Okay.
That's my life in
two kids. Seconds. You just got done at soccer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I just got done putting Sophia to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the Saints. Go Saints.
What's up with the Saints?
That's my kid's soccer team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. What position are we playing?
And we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem, mm-hmm. you know? Like, we'll figure it out. When I figure out what a halfback is, we'll be golden.
Yeah, yeah. Soccer was a controversial sport coming up in our house in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. The offsides rule was deemed kind of wimpy, and we never liked
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think I understand that. It's got something to do with the angle that you kick the ball down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You basically don't you don't want to be, like, too far ahead of the defense.
Yeah, but isn't that the whole point?
Yeah, that's right. That was the argument, which is why we thought soccer was lame. But we're biased. We're American. What's not lame is golf.
No,
and we got
not.
To know each other much better through golf.
That's right. That's
and I know less about your golf journey. Can you fill me in on what got you into the game and where you're at now mentally and with your enjoyment of the game?
100%. Yeah. So, the way you set up that intro is perfect because – My introduction to
fist from that thing.
Oh yeah, sure. My introduction to the game of golf was really a result of the pandemic, right? So just like a lot of people who came to golf at that time. Now I had played before and I really enjoyed it. Was terribly frustrated by it, but really enjoyed the challenge of it. Had to play my first couple of years in as a lawyer because kind of have to, at these firm retreats and things
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay.
But I hadn't really gotten into it. But hey, COVID hits. I'm running a business. It requires sales. It requires that I meet with people, that I make relationships, so that I can continue to, grow as a business owner. And so, but the world shut down, right? And so it wasn't possible to go meet people for coffee. Everything was literally closed at first,
what I mean?
And
then
when it opens back up, it was very controversial and everybody's wearing masks. Nobody's enjoying it. So I immediately thought, great, we'll meet at the range. I'll just meet everybody at the range. Perfect. And then we're locked in for 45 minutes or an hour. Or if I get real lucky and it's a big, potential client, we'll meet them on the course. Then we got 4 hours to just get to know each other, see where we might work together in the future. It ended up being really effective, for helping me to grow the business. I probably focused a little more on the business than I did on my game until very recently. I really caught the bug as a part of trying to build my business up.
Kind of by accident. Did you expect to enjoy golf going into it, or did you just look at it as a good networking aid that was tolerable environment?
Well, it was forced upon me initially, right? And that was really, again, coming out of law school. The first firm I went and worked for, every firm has sort of an annual retreat thing they do. And so this firm's that year included a round of golf, right? And so all of the summer associates were invited to play along with the partners of the firm, as they all vied for just a few positions to work at the law firm. So that was my introduction to golf.
Okay.
So if you wonder why.
No pressure.
No pressure, bro. You know what I'm saying? So that was my intro to golf. I probably spent too much time approaching it that way from that pressure perspective and, only recently finding more of the fun in it.
Okay. And then so right now on a good day, you shoot like a 90?
Probably, yeah.
For 18 holes?
Yeah, that's probably
so
right.
That's a win.
Yeah.
I've seen your development. I've seen you working on the range. You make time for it. That's a big part of it is digging it out of the dirt, as they say, and you are indeed digging it out of the dirt.
Yeah.
You started swiping it off of the turf. Now you're digging it. I see those divots start to come in a little bit more crispy after the ball, of course.
Man, I love it. Keep that coming. I need that positive reinforcement, especially on those tough days when you're out there and you got to hit 30 balls before you get to that one ball that gives you that crisp feeling.
Uh-huh.
These moments are the ones I try to remember. So,
well, it's been fun watching you, and it's always fun to try to coach somebody up that is obviously in it for the right reasons and just has a curiosity about learning. And we've been working on your wedge play.
Mm-hmm.
I could throw up a couple of videos here on the big screen
cool.
for the viewers' pleasure out there.
Yeah, home. Yeah.
But really, I think the meat of tonight's conversation, if I can shift gears a little bit selfishly, is I have started this thing with some friends called the Tuesday Game Golf League here in the DFW area. We did it for 2 years, started it January 5th during 2021, January 5th, 2021. So 2 full years of play, and we've completed a full, what I'm calling a cycle. It's a 4-cycle series where there's 4 seasons per cycle. And to me, that was the big accomplishment, to develop a repeatable game with set rules and a schedule that could be turned into a business. And in chatting with you on the range, you were gracious enough with your time to say, hey, let's go get coffee and talk about the process of turning a hobby into a business. So I was super excited there, and I don't know what to do. We're in a cool coffee shop, and I feel like I'm in a movie or something. I'm really like excited to just be like, oh, this is my great idea for a golf league, and it's going to be the greatest thing ever. It's going to be what people do on Tuesdays. That's a vision. And you're like, okay, that's awesome. I love the passion. Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. You need something called a business plan. And I go online and I type in business plan. And then in our next meeting at the Texas Rangers Golf Club, I had was super excited. I was up in the studio in here working on a business plan, what I thought was good, and like had the music push it to the limit, and it was like, walk along the razor's edge, don't look down. And then I come up with this 30-page document that I deliver at the Texas Rangers Golf Club, and I'm like, this is a business plan. Now we're gonna strike it big. We're right. Sitting down before the round, I'm unveiling my wonderful document. And again, you show me great grace. You say, Clay, this is a wonderful vision statement. This is not a business plan. And in order to create a business plan, you're going to have to do a lot of work. I know I'm a man that really enjoys a good bit of leisure on Tuesday. Hey, man. But
me both, brother.
For the next several Tuesdays in the future, after this conversation tonight, I'm going to be working on a business plan with your guidance. You're a business owner, which is so cool. That's the dream for me now. I thought my dream was playing golf on the PGA Tour. Took a brief little detour down that line and didn't work out. But I think the real goal at this point is to be able to work for myself and own my own business.
Yeah.
So what better person to talk to get this thing started off right? I will be the sacrificial idiot to the internet, not afraid to ask stupid questions. So we had this hobby. We came to you at Texas Rangers with this thing that was going to turn the hobby into a business. You say this is a good vision statement, not a business plan.
Right.
So what's the first step in taking your vision into a business plan?
Okay, first step in taking your vision into a business plan, in my mind, is to figure out what problem you're solving, right? So every business, the purpose of that business is to provide some type of service, even if that service is a product, right? You know, ultimately, there's a problem that you're solving. And you want to make sure that that problem you're solving is attached to whatever your why is for starting a business in the first place, right? So why do you want to start a business? Why do you want to start this particular business, right? Is the question you got to ask yourself. And then from there, is the problem that you're solving, is it connected to that why? So my question back to you is, why are you doing this?
For community and helping people build social capital and to keep my golf game sharp and to entertain. I'm an entertainer. My spirit is an entertainer. I love to entertain on the golf course. You were kind enough to come out to the spring scramble shootout over at Westdale.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a great time.
I do it to bring people together. I do it to show my love for the game of golf. I do it to see my friends. I do it to network.
Yeah.
I do it to challenge myself to grow. And lots of different reasons. Is that too vague?
Yeah. When I say why, in terms of what purpose are you trying to serve outside of yourself?
enhance people's lives through a community-oriented, eudaimonic leisure experience is our mission statement.
Okay, so to enhance people's lives, right? To enhance people's lives. So get more specific there. How are you enhancing people's lives?
Building social capital. There's a great book called Bowling Alone that talks about the sort of collapse of civic engagement in America and leagues and whatnot, steadily decreasing, I believe, since the 70s. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is a sign of a culture in decay and an opportunity to reinvigorate, especially post-COVID, people's curiosity and meeting with people different than themselves in an environment that fosters their flourishing as individuals. That's, to me, I spent a lot of time playing golf for hedonic reasons. So I punched in the computer, what is the opposite of hedonism? And it was this idea of eudaimonia, which comes from Greek origin, which basically is good-spirited leisure, something that leads people to become the highest version of themselves, instead of hedonic leisure, where you're on the golf course to have 8 IPAs and disappear from who you are. You're trying to briefly depart from your reality instead of participating in something that can elevate your reality based on forming relationships with people that can help you, and you can learn stuff from other people.
Too big.
Still a vision.
What problem are you solving for people?
They need a game on Tuesdays.
Why? Why do they need a game on Tuesdays? Don't go back big, though. Just like for an individual person, what problem are you solving for one person?
They have a Tuesday afternoon off.
Take a minute and think about it. What, the guy who wants to come to the Tuesday game, right? Why is he going to the Tuesday game?
Because it's fun.
What problem are you solving for him?
His Tuesday afternoon is boring and this is fun.
Okay, so his Tuesday afternoon is boring, and this is fun. Okay, so that tells us a lot, first of all, because it tells us a lot about your audience. Your audience is bored on a Tuesday afternoon. So who's that?
A lot of small business owners, people that are in command of their own schedule, because it's an abnormal time to play golf. To get 18 holes in on a Tuesday afternoon automatically whittles your audience down to people who are in control of their schedule.
Now you're talking.
Okay.
Now you're talking. You see what I'm saying? This is the stuff. You
know
what
I'm saying? That's the meat, not the fluff.
Not the fluff, man. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about your why is really, you're trying to create a really good, what I'm hearing is that you're trying to create a rewarding, enriching experience for folks that, have time on a Tuesday afternoon, but maybe don't have a lot of community or a lot of groups, people who are interested in getting together, having a space to get together, right? And so the problem that it's solving is people feeling disconnected from whatever, the sense of community that is no longer, at the forefront of society, as you put it, right? So if that's the problem that you're solving, right, and now you've already narrowed down quite a bit who those folks are. So from there, okay, you're solving that problem for them. So you've already identified exactly who your target market is, right? So from that point, you figured out what the pain point is. People are bored and off on a Tuesday afternoon, right? And so and I assume these folks, well, they don't necessarily have expendable income, but they probably do. You know what I'm saying?
Some of them do. Some of them are my caddy buddies. Because the club that a lot of my caddy buddies work at is closed on Tuesdays. Yeah. And that's kind of where it started for me. Some industry folks, which is why it's important to me to make it affordable.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, and that's great, right? So you've got service industry folks as well, right? So it's not just small business owners, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So again, we're figuring out who your target market is, by starting with, well, why are you doing it? You know what I mean? And then that kind of tells you, okay, what problem are you trying to solve? Okay, you're trying to solve the problem of providing a leisurely space for folks that have that availability. Okay, then who are those people, right? So now you're down to, you've got what problem you're solving, and now you're figuring out who your target market is. So we've already identified a couple of target markets, right? You said one would be small business owners. And another one would be people in the service industry or in businesses, right, that don't require them to be at an office from 9 to 5, right? So everything you do around this venture has to be focused on just that group of people. You know what I'm saying? Like every bit of marketing, every bit of sales, every dollar you spend should go towards engaging just that group. You see what I mean?
I do.
Because that's where the juice is. That's where the money is. Okay. That's where you're going to flow from. Ultimately, what we're trying to figure out here is how to connect what you care about, right, to a problem that needs to be solved, and how to get money for solving that problem. You know what I'm saying? Quite frankly, that's every business. That's essentially what it comes down to. So we figured out why you're doing it. We figured out essentially who you're going after, right? And so then from there, it's what are you selling them and how are you charging for it? How are you generating revenue, right? So in order to even begin to think about a business plan, the first thing you have to do is start thinking in business terms. You know what I'm saying? Like philosophical terms will always drive you personally, right? And it's extremely important to have those. And the fact that you have them so well defined is phenomenal. You know what I mean? A lot of folks don't.
Okay.
A lot of folks go into business for money. Yikes. It's way too fucking hard for that. You know what I mean? Like for regular folks, you know, like it's, you can't, if Uncle such and such is not giving you $1 million so you can start your whatever, you know, your real estate empire or whatever, then, you know, for us, it takes grit, hard work, sweat, dedication of a level that, you know, most people don't have to do in life. So if you're doing it for money, you're probably just going to fail. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's the only reason. So it's super important to have a personal ethos, a personal engine that's driving you forward. And you do have that, right? So now it's time to start thinking in terms of the business, in terms of the numbers, in terms of how you'll actually execute the plan that you put in place. So what I would recommend as a next step for you as you're thinking through this is to really identify that target market and get specific with it, right? So when I say specific, you said small business owners. I'm not saying you have to have particular names of small business owners, but what kinds of small business owners? Where are they? Where do they live? What do they like to do? You know, where do they hang out usually on Tuesdays? You need to create avatars of the people that you're trying to engage.
It's like hunting.
It's exactly like hunting. It's exactly like hunting. I defined when my wife said, I told her I'm really back on my sales kick, you know, with the firm because I got to, you know, make sure we keep generating revenue. And I don't know where it came from, but I was describing it to her and I was like, yeah, I was like, it's going to be a little crazy for a while. I'm going to have a lot of late nights. It's going to be a lot going on. I was like, babe, I'm going to war. I'm going to war. I'm going to war. You know, she's like, what do you mean you're going to war? I mean, like, that's what I mean. I mean, getting through this kind of stuff, you know, figuring out how to structure your business the right way and how to target your market is very similar to hunting anything else. You know what I mean? Like, and when you take that view on it, it allows you to be effective and get from the idea to the action. So you just have to make that same connection that you make when you're out hunting.
Beautiful. I fish. It's like fishing too,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Absolutely. If you know how that fish swims, you know where it's going to be at what time of day, you know what it likes to eat, you know what kind of lure is going to pull it in. Those are the things you need to do to catch the fish, right? Loving the fish and wanting to eat fish ain't going to get you the fish. You know what I mean? You put me out there with a pole with a string on the end of it, bro, we're going to starve, you know, with a great idea to eat fish, you know. So I need you for that, right? So you got to approach your business the same way. So figure out your fish, you know, understand exactly the profile of the people that you're going to want to bring this value to. And then once you figure out who they are, you can figure out how to engage them.
Okay. And once we get the target customer avatars built,
right,
then is it time to do market analysis or is that later?
Yes, that's exactly what time it is. Very good research on your part. You know, it's the easy way to think about it is like, who's the competition? You know, like who else is doing something like this?
The big one, Spark Golf, would be an example. They're blowing up. They got the nice email marketing. They got Nationwide Golf League. So I would try to reverse engineer what they do.
I didn't say that. You said that. I would
okay.
not say that.
Okay.
What you would do is first figure out the totality of the market, right? So, for example, if you wanted to build a new, gosh, Now I'm not going to come up with a good example here, but the idea is if you wanted to give me a second, can you repeat that question actually? Or like, can you repeat the last thing you said? Because I really want to make this point. Give me a second, man.
I was saying, I think Spark Golf is the leader right now in terms of leagues. Right. And I said, do I just go in and reverse engineer what they
just
do?
Just what they did, right. And so I would say the answer is they're just the tip of the iceberg, right? Because they're the ones at the tip top. They're the ones that have bubbled up, you know, from across any number of markets to get to that place. But if there's one of them, that means there's probably a dozen or two other ones, right, that are at various stages of growth. And so knowing what they're doing on the way up is probably more important in the short term than it is knowing what a group that, you know, probably has big private equity backers and all kinds of funds from everywhere and different, you know, team members that are coming to pull it all together. That's a story that you would be telling some years down the line after Tuesday Game is built, right? And so that's what your story would look more like then. I would say, who's doing it locally well? Right. And maybe local is not necessarily Dallas. You know, maybe it's Fort Worth. Maybe it's Houston. Maybe it's out of state. But finding smaller examples and seeing what they're doing, how they're doing it, how they're targeting their target market will provide insights to you on how you should leverage that here in Dallas.
Shout out Keaton Park. Keaton Park's doing it right. They're a good opportunity for study there. Their Tuesday night 9-hole game is quite popular. Mm. I'm trying to build the best 18-hole game. But I'm going to look into what Keaton Park's been doing behind the scenes.
Exactly. Figure out what you can about what their game looks like. You know, we talked about DGI and some of the stuff they're doing in terms of, you know, building out this course at Tennyson. And that's exactly what they did. You know, I mean, these are real golf enthusiast guys, but they don't know anything about golf architecture and how all that goes. So they were like, what other nonprofits have taken over? You know, and the big one is National Golf Links. Is that what it's called? They're gonna be mad at me if I mess up the name, but I think it's National Golf Links. And it's a big nonprofit that helps run muni courses for cities, right? So yeah, that's the big goal. But there's 20 other ones, right? You know, so you need to understand what each one of those are doing so you can see the differences, the similarities, and then find your lane there.
And this goes into a PDF document of 10 different similar businesses with an analysis of what they're doing. And
the best, you know, it doesn't have to be at that. At this stage, you just want to provide a summary of what they do, right? So essentially, what are their offerings? Where are they? What market are they going after, and anything you can tell about their success in terms of revenue or, you know, how their model is set up, you want to just look at that information, right? Like how are they generating revenue? Who are they going after? Where are they, you know, and things about them that you like. And what you're going to come up with is a map of essentially what 20 other entrepreneurs just like yourself already did, right? And then you see what they've done, and that helps you to figure out how you're going to differentiate yourself from what they've already done, right? So it does start with deep research on what's already out there. You're never reinventing the wheel. It's a lot like the golf shot in that regard, right? You know what I mean? You got, every time I talk with you and we're working through things, you'll say, okay, think about maybe how Hogan would do this, or, you know, Trevino used to say that, or, you know what I mean? The fact is your golf swing is an amalgamation of everybody else's golf swing, right? You know what I mean? Little tips and tricks you learn from everyone. So you want to research your market the same way, right? So that's really, so a market analysis is ultimately that. It's getting on the ground and figuring out who else is doing something close to what you're doing to help elucidate for you the direction you need to take to move forward.
Okay. And once we have a thorough market analysis, then what do we do?
So with a thorough market analysis in hand, you should be able, again, to figure out from that where you differentiate. Okay. Because what you're figuring out is, you know, say that this is the square in which you're operating, and there's, you know, six other ones. Well, you know, six other companies that are doing something similar. How do we fit you into that? Do you take some of their market share? Do you have a whole space where no one's around and it doesn't even matter? You know, so you're going to learn a lot from that. Right. And it's going to help you figure out what the next place to go is from a direction perspective. But essentially what you're going to learn is, now that you've done a full market analysis, you're going to know who you're going after. You're going to know where they are. You're going to know how to go after them, or some more about how to go after them, because you've looked at how everybody else is going after them, right? And that's when you build your plan. So it doesn't exist yet now. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist until you've already looked at everybody else's, you know, and thought about how they put theirs together and thought, okay, this is how I want to do mine. This was good. I didn't like that part. You can go talk to folks. You can meet them. I'll give you a quick example. My friend in Chicago bought an electrical supply business about a year ago. You know, he's real excited about buying that business and was looking to buy other ones. And I was like, man, wait till you get in there first, you know, own the business for a minute, you know, see how it goes, you know, experience it for a while. And I bring him up because, you know, he was able to see through the process, through the experience of running the business, how much more complicated it was than he thought looking at it, you know, kind of from the outside. And so when he figured that out, he said, okay, I need help, right? You know what I mean? I've not done this before. So what did he do? He went to the other electrical supply companies around Chicago, went and hung out, you know what I'm saying? Asked him a couple of questions, you know, some of them, if they seem friendly enough, maybe asked him, you know, hey, I actually own one. That's, if they weren't a competitor, direct competitor, ask them some direct questions. If not, just gather information. You know what I mean? I certainly did the same thing with setting up my law firm, you know? So you got to figure out who your competition is. You know what I mean? Again, I don't mean to make it so it's not violent, but it is, from a strategic perspective, a lot like war. You know what I mean? You start by figuring out, you know, who your competition is. And then that helps you figure out where you fit in the ecology. You know, the goal, again, not being to eliminate other folks, but to figure out where you fit. If that requires other folks to be eliminated, maybe it does. But, you know, hopefully there's room for everybody.
Of course.
And in your space especially, there's definitely room, right? You know what I mean? For folks that want to have a good time on a Tuesday. So.
Okay. So in a perfect world, that's all buttoned up and hand delivered to your attorney to create an LLC.
Okay.
And is that correct?
Oh, you mean, well, in what
sense? In a perfect world, if you're going to start a business and you're like, all right, I got this hobby that I want to be sanctioned by the U.S. government. I want a LLC.
Yeah.
Would it have been better for me to have that, as you just described, all buttoned up by the time I reached out to a lawyer and said, I would like to form an LLC?
Yeah.
I handed you a vision statement, and now I have an LLC on paper, but that's okay. I can edit after the fact.
Exactly. So first, you know, you worked with our team, your LLC, the way it's set up is going to be good for whatever it is you decide to do in the realm of the Tuesday game, you know? So you're good to go on your documents. But in terms of actual process, it's very common. I mean, everybody does it. When you decide you want to set up a business, one of the first things people want to do is commit to it and say, you know, damn it, I'm going to go ahead and get my LLC and I'm going to say, you know, this is it. I'm going to take that step, right? So I think it is a really important step from a psychological perspective.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Not so much from a business process perspective, right? From a business process perspective, you don't need to spend a dollar on anything until you've done your research. You know what I mean? Until you really understand what you're trying to put together. And the way to figure that out, again, is first to understand who else is doing it in a similar way or a different way and find exactly what your niche is. So your mission statement is a great mission statement. It's broad. It kind of encompasses what your philosophy is, right? But, you know, the next level of that statement is going to be more of an elevator pitch, you know, for what you guys are doing. And that's going to be real specific. We offer the boom, boom, boom at the boom, boom and the boom, boom, right? No idea what your magic statement is yet or your elevator pitch is, right? But that's what you work towards, right? So again, we can go through all the way to the part where you get into numbers and you're churning through Excel spreadsheets and all the really fun parts of running a business. But really, this is a process of evolution. You know what I mean? It's an iterative process. So you just take it one step at a time. Right now, you've got a phenomenal vision and you've got programming in place that you've already built out, right? So what you have to do is first make sure you've written down what the programming is for Tuesday Game as it currently exists, right? And then also do an analysis of other folks that are doing something similar anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world that you like. What they're doing. Write down what you like about it, what you don't. Looking again at how are they marketing, who are they marketing to, what is their sales process to the extent you can figure that out. You know, are they throwing events? Are they big on Instagram? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, what is it that they're doing to generate interest? And then how are they making money? You know what I mean? Are their events $60 a player? Are they, you know what I mean? You got to do price comparisons and what types of events have proven to draw folks in that are willing to pay on a regular basis and can that someone was able to grow a great business from, right? So you just start by learning from their stuff. That helps you figure out your next step. So really, that's it for you, you know, for where you are right now. It starts there. Here's our programming for the Tuesday game. And, you know, here are some of the competitors, where they are, what they do, how they do it, what their price points are, et cetera, right? List that out, and then that's going to get you much closer to exactly what Tuesday game is going to be, at least in the short term, right? And it'll help you explain it, you know what I mean? So that when you're out talking to folks, even to the extent of bringing the folks in who are going to be a part of it, you have that really interesting membership structure that you want to put in place. Being able to quickly explain exactly what it is and how it goes is going to be your most valuable asset from a sales, marketing, and sales perspective, right? And this is a part of figuring that out. It's getting from philosophy down to a tight thesis, right? So it starts with research.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to do so.
Are you ready
research.
To nerd out? Because that's what it's going to be, bro.
Yeah. It's going to be. And I like doing it here because I'm going to give myself, I have to do it now. I'm doing it in the public square.
I mean, everybody saw it. I saw it. I'm going to look at this later and we will have a permanent record.
For sure. And I think that's important to hold yourself accountable.
Critically important.
So, yeah, we've got it scheduled out. If you'd like to come play, it's the last Tuesday of every month until December. The big vision is to do a trip out to Lajitas at the end of December. They have a jet that goes from Love Field out to Lajitas. So that is why I want the money this season, is I want to be able to charter this plane from Love Field to Lajitas. And that's going to be a combination of people just paying to go. And what I would like to do is to have a couple of spots reserved for people who qualify to go on the trip. If they don't have $2,500 to go do the trip in Lajitas, how can I build a business to subsidize those spots through merch sales, through YouTube ad revenue? Right. How do I get it done to subsidize a few spots where the people who don't have enough money to go? I don't want people to not participate in the leisure due to financial reasons. So I think that's my engine for let's get this trip figured out. This is why I'm going to do the spreadsheets, why I'm going to do the analysis this season, and then spin off from there.
So then, and the great thing about what you just said was, you know, that was the clearest description that you've given me thus far of what it is you really want to do. What you're really trying to do is raise money for this trip, right? You know, and that's a great way to sort of frame what your work looks like to get there, right? So you've already done some number crunching on it, you know, overall. So getting those numbers on paper in an exact way will be really important to figuring out what your business plan is too, because ultimately, your plan has to be built to get to whatever your goal is for the business, right? So you obviously are going to have short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals for it. But if that's a short-term goal, it's a great place to start because you got to figure out what it will take to get there, right? And by figuring that out, you will have figured out the same, it's going to be a similar process for the next step and for the next step, right? So that's a great way to frame it in terms of focus is, you know, you're doing this research right now. Because where you left off and what you described to me was where you kind of got stuck was, okay, I think I understand about how much it's going to be to put it together, but how do I pull the money together to do it, right? Well, there's your research, right? There's your market analysis, figuring out how are other people doing it? You know, how are they raising their money? How are they generating income? How long did it take them to get going? You know, you look at things like when they got started. If you can read their about sections, read their bios. I go to the LinkedIn pages of the people that are founders of the, you know what I mean? Understand as much as you can about them and about how they went about getting to where they are. And you're going to understand more about the path that you're walking on.
My immediate bias is, oh, that does not sound fun, but I need to reframe that.
Yeah.
It needs to become the new game.
It does. Because like, to me, I never understood why golf people would watch other people play golf. That seems insane to me because it's a slow sport. And nobody's getting hit, right? This is the non-golfer from, you know, 10 years ago or so. Nobody's getting hit. Nobody's jumping. What are we watching this person swing at this ball for? I mean, I get the part where we get to see the ball get close to the hole, right? Because that is kind of cool. But why am I watching this guy swing at a club over and over and over again? once you understand the value in watching another person swing, especially a pro swing, then you understand why people pay $200 an hour to have a pro show them, you know, how to swing, right? You got to look at your business the same way. It seems boring just simply because you haven't seen the value in it yet for what it's going to do for your business. Just like I hadn't seen the value in what it's done for my golf game, which is still shitty, by the way. But improving.
It's a process.
Improving. It's a process. I know Clay's got my back, so we'll be good, man.
Hell yeah. I'm excited to see you. We're going to break 80 in a year.
Oh, man. I'm so excited about that. Cheers to that, brother. Yeah.
And if I may zoom back out just for a moment out of the world of business planning, I like to think about reverse engineering the WWE for the Tuesday game. Back to the vision. I think the WWE has an interesting element of kayfabe, as they call it, where you're not quite sure whether the guys that are wrestling actually hate each other if they're just sort of chirping for the show. And that's been sort of part of the magic secret sauce of the Tuesday game's early broadcast success is some of the characters like Yerp. You know, Yerp is out there yerping. And you got Pinky coming in and out, kind of wandering through. And so you're building out this intellectual property of these characters within the Tuesday game universe.
Yeah.
Like, I want to sell Pool Guy Tim t-shirts and give him the majority of the royalties. And so I looked at the WWE business plan a while back.
Interesting, yeah.
Or their organization as a whole.
Yeah.
And they broke it down into live events, merch, media, in like three buckets. So you got the media royalties from WWF intellectual property, you got the merchandise, and then you got the live events. And I think that's basically what we're trying to do as well. I don't know if that helps spur the conversation along in any particular direction.
It does. It's a next step, right? You know, so everything you described there are different methods. Can you hand that to me real quick?
Certainly.
You know, so the WWE has, you know, just different revenue generating activities that are related to its brand, right? So it's throwing events and it's got merch. It's got, you know, royalty deals and sponsorship deals. And then it's got so much damn money it can do outside investments, right? So this would be the exact same thing for the Tuesday game or for Beyonce. Or for, you know what I mean? Or, you know, frankly, for whatever, you know, Jordan Spieth's behemoth is, you know what I mean? It's all the same thing, right? It's all a part of that evolution. What it starts with is building a product and a brand. And then these are natural offshoots. As a matter of fact, when you get to that level, these people come to you. You know what I'm saying? They want to be attached to you. You know what I mean? You start by obviously making your first piece of merch. You get your thing going and you find merch companies calling you hoping they can attach to your brand, right? So really, these will be natural organic outgrowths of the flourishing of the Tuesday game brand. Think of what you're doing now. You're also already doing these things, right? You know what I'm saying? So the Tuesday game is a live event. Yesterday, I was wearing my Tuesday game shirt.
Leisure participant.
That's correct. I'm a leisure participant, right? So you've already got merch. Media royalties, those are on the way. That was going to take a little bit more time. You know, and outside investments as well. But essentially, what I'm saying is you're already on that path. You know what I mean? In terms of brand building. So for this process is really about figuring out how to put that brand in front of the right people. The people that are going to say, hey, yeah, I'll pay to be a part of that. You know what I mean? Like people like me, you know, and there's a lot of us. But figuring out those avatars, figuring out how to go after them, and how to get that money, and then connecting that to what your first project is a great way to kind of get the ball rolling here. You know what I mean? And so your questions again, well, how do I turn it into money? Start by seeing how other people have turned it into money.
Sounds easy, but it's going to be a lot of work.
It is.
And that's what the big brain's supposed to be for. You're supposed to use your brain for things to kind of level up.
Yeah. That's what it's about, man. Yeah, so it's time. You know what I'm saying? Again, just like I'm out there finally grinding on a golf course. Man, I've been swinging at that thing for 3 years, chopping away. You know, the first time I'm like, let me try to feel the weight of the club head. I've been hearing that shit for years. You know, and I'm finally trying to do it. You know, we are in the same boat, brother. You know, we're in the exact same boat. So, Yeah, if you put the dedication in, probably a lot more. But if you put a good part of dedication in, think of it the same way you got me out there grinding, you know, you got to do the same, you know, and then we'll have our successes.
Beautiful. Well, I don't know how much time we burnt through here. The Instagram Live is still going. If you have any questions, the Grown phone is open for the next few minutes here. 469-844-0328 is the number if you have any questions for Sean Tate.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the name of your new business?
Oh, my new business? Well, it's not really a business yet. You mean the one that we're talking about today?
Yeah, I mean the next step.
Oh, the next step.
Yeah.
It's so new. It doesn't even have a name yet.
Fantastic.
Didn't even have a name yet. Didn't even have a name yet. The point, but the idea is there, you know, and my concept is, you know, I've worked with hundreds of startup companies, worked with several venture labs. I've successfully helped several businesses get off the ground. I've worked in several C-suite positions within small entrepreneurial ventures, right? And I've been a real estate and corporate lawyer for almost a decade now. And I've been an entrepreneur the whole time. And I spent the past 5 years building a pretty darn successful law firm that now has its own lawyers. And I'm not even doing the legal work anymore. So I've kind of built a business myself that I'm very proud of. And I've spent a lot of time and a lot of money and resources figuring out how. And I want to share that with everybody else, you know, so they can figure out how to get there. Because I know I'm not the only one that's been bouncing around trying to figure out how to turn their passion and their dream into something that they can use to feed their family and keep their life moving forward. I think that's a dream for a lot of us. And as I've come to realize that dream for myself, I'm already chomping at the bit to share it with the world. So doesn't even have a name yet, but the concept is there and you're a part of building that concept out. So we're working together on it, man.
Cool. And that was really interesting to me. You were talking about you've got some business associates that are interested in helping people become more financially literate. Would that be a good way to say it? You can read a balance sheet. You can read a profit loss statement.
Yeah. So that would be the goal, right? Is, you know, so this, the idea is we would have an online curriculum, right? Take about a year to complete and it would have modules in it. So yeah, it would be a lot of homework. Be pretty tough, you know, not fun, boring, unsexy, boring stuff that you have to do to learn how to run a business, right? So one of the first things you would want to do is this boring but critical thing, right? Which is figuring out why you're doing it, right? You want to start there, right? People need to figure out getting from the philosophical reason why they're doing it to what problem are they trying to solve for people.
In this realm.
Right. In this realm, what specific problem are they trying to solve for people? And then from there, they have to figure out, and that's its own process. That's its own process. Once they figure out what the problem is, now they got to go figure out who the competition is. That's its own process. That's its own module, right? Then from there, they got to figure out what their marketing strategy is for that. Now you're learning about how to do marketing strategies, how to build a marketing funnel. You're learning how a customer retention management system works, how you keep, you know, how you turn leads into potential clients into close, and then how you turn it into repeat business, and you know, all of that stuff that you have to learn to deal with the marketing and sales side of a business. Then there's also the numbers side that nobody I don't like the numbers part. But you got to figure out what you're doing with your taxes. You got to understand how to read a profit and loss sheet, or you don't know what you're doing with your money. You know what I mean? You got to understand what a balance sheet is, or no bank's going to take you seriously anyway, right? So all the stuff, the unsexy parts that nobody wants to do to get to their dream, I'm saying let's package it up, make it as quick and painless as possible. If people work hard and get through it, they'll have the skill set they need. Now, the next step is this. What the hell is the point of a skill set, right, if you still got no money to actually make your idea move to the next level? So to try to start to address that, the goal of this program would be, if you complete the curriculum, we've established relationships in prior with banks that are looking to bank with people who have a certain level of business sophistication and not just, you know, the regular business plans that people pull off of, you know, Google and PDF, and they go into these banks and hope that they'll get, you know, $500,000 loans and they have to turn them all away. I'm saying graduated from this program. Now the banks are saying we don't have to vet these people the same way that we did. They just jumped the line, right? So it's making businesses not only more sophisticated, but more bankable. So you can go get some money to follow this thing up. And also, we have a pretty wide network of private equity investors and private equity fund managers that are interested in what really cool small businesses are doing. So the businesses that graduate from the program, you get in front of our network of private equity folks as well and venture capitalists. So that if your idea is something that interests them, now you've got somebody to help you out on the equity side, you know, of growing your business. So the goal, again, is not just to teach people how to do it and walk them through the rigors of doing it, but then, hey, here's some folks that, you know what, you're this much closer to getting money and it was only that much more to go. You know what I mean? That's the goal, right? Is to help people jump the line a little bit there and really make their businesses and their dreams a reality.
Okay, well, it sounds like that's going to be a podcast series. Hopefully, I can come by your studio sometime.
Awesome,
the
man.
Next chapter of this Tuesday game saga.
I can't wait, dude. That's going to be awesome, man. But I'm looking forward to the next one because we got a lot to talk about. I want to see what your market research revealed. I'm really excited to find out, you know, like how this whole thing plays out for other folks. And then from that, we'll be able to figure out what that avatar is. You know, who are these folks you're going after? And then where are they, right? And where can you reach them? And then how do you reach them, right? So those are the steps you're going to take to get towards how to actually turn the Tuesday game into the next level you want it to be at.
Okay, business sensei, can I have until after the next Tuesday game to have this document submitted? I just got to get through the melee at Meadowbrook.
Take the time you need. Oh, man, the melee at Meadowbrook, you say?
Yeah, the last Tuesday of April.
Okay, let's talk about it.
It's the 25th out there at Meadowbrook in Fort Worth.
Okay, Meadowbrook.
And this is a over 100-year-old golf course with a lot of history. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's a quick 20-minute drive from here because Melissa works in the morning. So she comes back, tags out with me so I can leave at 12:45-ish to get to the golf course, set up the tent, get ready for arrivals, get the music going, get the pairings right, get the handicaps right, get the scorecards dotted.
Just got work to do, man. Yeah. Well, one day, you know, when we get this thing built out, there'll be somebody else doing that part.
That would be cool.
That's the goal.
I would like to just leisure with everyone.
That's the plan.
Let's work on that plan together. Sean Tate, you're a badass. Good,
brother. No, you are, man. Thank you for everything, bro. Thanks for having me on. This is really fun. Really fun. And again, it's just the beginning. So, you know, let's get to work.
Let's get to work. Thanks for watching.
I'm going to work on my golf swing, man. You know?
So, yes.
Yeah, let's get that done.
You need to work on your golf swing, but it's coming along.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, everybody.
Later, y'all.